We don't know yet. The first album was Caught in the Loop, so Caught in the Loop again, maybe.
Part two.
Still Caught in the Loop.
Part two.
The other goldfish.
Yeah, hello.
Jason,
how are you doing?
Cool.
Jason,
how are you, Claire?
And we didn't bring a mag, we just totally useless.
You didn't bring
a mag?
Okay.
It's Pulse magazine.
Musica in Store Magazine.
Yes, we distribute through that.
And how many, what's your print run like?
53,000, so.
That's not bad, eh?
Yeah. To put it well, gets it out, yeah, it gets the word.
Well, that's more than
Zigzag.
It's more than
a little more than Zigzag, yeah, about five times more than Zigzag.
No, twice. They're 17,000.
Yeah. They're printing 17, they're selling about
17. I think they're selling 17, printing 25.
They're your ABC, this is the joy of publishing. You publish the ABC, and the ABC basically says,
oh, they're
auditors. Well, no, the thing is, you don't want it to sell through. And the reality is that whatever you put into the market, you're not going to sell, and you average out about 40. But you guys don't sell it. That's why it just goes. So it's brilliant. And it's like, yeah, I mean, they do great stuff. And it's just amazing. They've been there for 100 years. They continue. Yeah, they service a particular market very well.
Yeah.
But it's just sad when your main motivation is selling and you don't, because you literally pulp off what you print. But you have to make 17,000 available on the premise that people will buy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not just that. It's just the advertisers are getting 17,000 copies of that. Yes. They give away 3,000 or 4,000.
Yeah.
Sell. The advertiser doesn't matter.
As long as it's being read,
topped up, stuck on walls, that's what happens to those movies.
Same with you in a way, you know, it's like people.
I know, but then it's the whole MP3 revolution, which is, it's like, well, it's out, you know.
Yeah.
It's like the first time we went to Stellenbosch, our album wasn't stocked anywhere in Stellenbosch. We sold 3 CDs the first time we played there.
Yeah.
The second time we came there, they sold out the club we played at. It was the biggest night they'd ever had, and the entire club was singing along to the album. We were like, it's cool.
Hold on.
So that's the same sort of scenario.
And how's it?
Although it's saving a lot more trees.
Music has got the whole download.
Yeah,
digital download. Beyond this.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is it a separate thing to the?
It's part of their business. It's a business unit. I mean, so I couldn't give you the.
I'm actually proud about that.
But you should, because the thing is that it's the only legal besides if you.
Well, it's pick and play. Them. But pick and play doesn't sell MP3s. They sell WMAs, which is the last time.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's where it's fallen flat, because it really, when it came out, and people didn't know that it really was going to take music out.
It's not MP3s. You can't put it on your iPhone.
Can't put it on the iPhone.
I mean, at the most, it's like making a special petrol which only works in
on
three
certain
cars.
Toyotas. Yeah.
It only works on Toyotas. Like,
yeah.
That's the point.
Yeah.
Everyone's only three people driving Toyotas.
Yeah. So no, check it out. I know that it's not a huge part of the. But interestingly enough, it works for artists where albums aren't out yet. You know, like this week, Mika will be at number one because the Grace Kelly single isn't available as a single anyway. So that's where you would put the second that the album drops, it falls off the chart, people go out and out, you know, not commit money to the record. But what's nice about it is that you'll get, like, basically, if you had to release a new single, you'll find that all of a sudden one of your singles from the first album would start creeping up back into the chart because everyone starts listening to it and going, oh yeah, I remember the first album.
Yeah.
And you what's happening is you'll get a repeat of a number one, like in the UK.
It was like that with the Police, with Roxanne.
All of a sudden, 2 years later, it's back in the chart, and it's the original version as it was, but it's now, it's selling as many as it would as if it was released on a pre-selling pressed single. And
that would be very nice to happen with the first
No, because
song.
I mean, the pressed single is a complete waste of time.
Yeah.
The pressed single is a complete waste of time.
Yes.
The spy.
It has a 2 or 3 week shelf life in the UK. After that, they actually delete it. Yeah, they put the single out, you buy it, ooh, it's very exciting, after 3 weeks they delete it, and it's gone.
But I'm saying actually pressing a single CD like they used to, it's just a waste of time.
In South Africa, there's never been a singles market, unfortunately, not in any commercial sense.
So most of the bands just end up doing EPs because of money to do a whole album.
Yeah.
Just to, like,
but again, your argument is it's costing you the same amount of money menu, yep. space wise, yep. and if you can squeeze as much as you can onto it,
that's fine for us because we record ourselves.
We guys have
to pay $3,000 a day to go record in a studio and an engineer and
the producer. Was Grammy nominated.
Yeah.
I've been through all that.
Yeah. It's like, I've worked with.
What was that? You were the T boy.
Huh? Yeah, that's right. I was in the room.
And he told me to leave.
Why is that? Because I was painting. As you say, now all of a sudden people care about who you are. A year ago you couldn't give it away. Now people want to.
It's a funny story about Miles Davis when this guy we know. his friend, he's an American guy. I won't mention him because he lives in Cape Town. He's very excitable about music. And he was with Jaco Pastorius one day, and Miles Davis phoned Jaco. And this guy was like, oh my god, you must let me speak to Miles. He's like, Miles on the phone. He's like, damn, and then he's like, it's like, ugh. So eventually he's like, okay, Miles, if someone wants to speak to you, and he puts the phone over to me. And he goes, hey, Miles, how's it going? And he goes, can I speak to Jaco, please? He's like,
Miles Davis took the time out of his day to tell me basically to go fly it's amazing for any musician or artist your world is a very sacred, very separate world from the world that you actually sell to and the place that you play in. And then you do all of this stuff and you go out there and then you get this wall of, say, other people, band-aids, or people who want a piece of you or want to sell something to you or buy something from you. It's a weird space.
It's bizarre.
Do you know the most refreshing person we ever came across was when we did the collab, and all the other acts that were on that thing just like completely unapproachable and just sit there and like,
rock and roll.
Don't talk to me, you can't.
Yeah.
And where's my whatever?
Yeah.
Illicit substance or whatever.
Yes.
And Fat Boy Slim,
yes.
Like, we spent like about 45 minutes just having a chat with him about fishing.
He had just gone fishing that day.
Yeah. He told us what he caught, and we thought Dave's a fisherman. So, like, but, and then, you know, like, the other bands were all like, you know, don't talk to us, we're rock stars.
Yeah.
And it was just really cool to see that it doesn't have to be like
that. It was nice that you snuck into his change room and stole beers. But luckily,
you never get the cool gears. Like, you know, do we have backline? No, you don't. Everyone else has backline. You're just lucky to be there.
Yeah, exactly. We were just stoked to be there. We were super stoked.
And they know that too.
Yeah.
Because we'll tell you that.
Yeah.
It's a privilege.
Well, they actually paid us to play the gig, which was.
That doesn't happen very often.
Which doesn't
happen. Not often enough. Yeah.
But I mean, most of the time, people are like, oh, you have to be free, yeah?
Well, because we're giving you a platform, yeah. Now, what are you doing radically different that you didn't do on the first record besides it? Obviously, the obvious.
Well, the funny thing was is that we recorded the first album maybe.
Yeah, but I mean, it's over a long period of time.
Yeah.
We recorded those tracks from about
when we first started.
You weren't kidding, 2012.
It took a while. And basically, I think the fact that we were doing this one of the. Not creating it, but recalling it in a
much more concentrated space of time.
Like 1 or 2 years as opposed to 6 years.
from your lips.
I'm just kidding. Like, from, you know, in a couple of months as opposed to. I mean, look, most of the last album we actually did in a very concentrated time, and then spent a lot of time.
Your tour dates will dictate the release date because you will be forced to leave the country to go and do this tour, and if you don't do this album before then
we're going in July regardless it has to be finished, printed, everything by then. It will be there's no definitely
we've got the material
there.
Lazy
but no,
it's a case we have to meet people like you.
No, like as I said, when we were talking, it's like the whole balance of all the things that do need to happen as aside from which never was there before, because yeah. There wasn't any of that. We were just making the album. We made the album, and it was like, okay, now what do we do? Yeah. I guess we should probably try and sell it.
Whereas now
we're like having to think about all that stuff like 4 months before it even gets there.
But then if you do it right, then it's done up front.
Well, that's why we just had a meeting now about the tour and all that stuff already. And the tour is like 6.5-7 months away.
So it's kind of
to get back to that question of what the album's going to be, or if it's going to be radically different. I think the first album had our first track we ever did on it, our first foray into electronic music. That track is on there, that's Dream, and that got released in America.
It was
like the first thing we ever did, and I listen to it now and go, oh god, but people still love it.
It's a good track, and the funny thing is the first track we did and the last track we did very well. Because the last track that we put together was All Night.
So what were you doing in the middle?
Who knows? Well, I'm gonna skip the middle this time.
The amazing thing about that is that the track, like the first track with The Real Deal, has been like a sleeper track. Where now it's like the biggest track we do. When we play live, people go completely crazy for it, but the radio is not playing. It's the weirdest. Like,
I think it's also a case of the fact that the album's spreading more. That track is getting more well known because.
It's the underground.
Exactly. The actual CD is doing the work that the radio should have done 6 months ago. And it's the first track on the album, so it's the first track everybody puts the CD in once hears. You've got to put I always think you must put your best song first. Unless you're U2.
Hopefully.
If you're U2, then you can put it wherever you want. But if you're U2, you probably
got 10.
If it's your first impression.
What makes it the best track though? Because the thing is, for you, it could be, you know.
That's the thing, it's a tricky thing. You can't. It's like, how do you know what the best
track is? Some of the most unlikely. You wouldn't have gone.
That's well, it's like Freshly Ground with DVD, then. Didn't put it on the album.
Yeah, because.
Thank God they did.
Yeah.
For them.
Yes. Yeah.
Imagine.
We'll sell it.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like that song is everywhere.
Yeah.
And one day, I got hit in 4 or 5 different places.
10,000 albums.
Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah. And they've just sold 10,000 in Italy.
Sold. I think they probably sold 3 songs to various ad campaigns.
All sorts of
good places to be. I think there is that fine line. But again, the fact that you release your music commercially means that you are quite happy that as many people hear it and play it as often as possible. You can't be precious about it.
Yeah, exactly. No, we're very pragmatic about it.
If we hear it, if we hear your Doobie Doo in a year from now,
That's the thing. If you do really badly and no one knows you, we did really well and now you're sold out. You can never win that.
No, but everyone champions the underdog. Nobody celebrates
It's funny, this is a strange thing.
I just like to break them down.
Is that it? Because everyone always talks about that. South Africa sort of.
And people own you. In a South African context, people, that's your success now, is that you are the best kept secret to so many people. The second that market.
It's so interesting you say that, though, because we had this where somebody said to somehow got back to us through a friend of ours that they said, I hate that band Goldfish. And the person she was saying it to was close friend of David's.
Yeah.
And she was like, but why?
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? It's actually, it's not that I don't like them. I hate their crowd. And she's like, what?
I hate
and she said, because she'd gone to Kirstenbosch and come to the picnic thing, and it just like turned into like a tsunami.
You
were messing with her one time.
And that was quite a strange reason to not.
I'm sorry. I'll go vet them next time. Don't mosh.
Don't move. Careful.
People don't mosh to your gig. They move.
And they move. They fill them up.
Yeah.
They don't want to punch each other.
Is it a little freaky sometimes to actually see that kind of thing happening? Because I remember seeing you at Kirstenbosch, within Kirstenbosch, at a Vintage launch.
Yes.
And then
that was kind of cool.
That was completely at the time.
But you know, that's one of those sort of everyone sitting back with their head going, "Oh, look at me!"
Tragically hip.
Yeah. And sadly, you fit in perfectly.
Yeah, I know that is the kind of
thing. I was there doing that as well.
That's the thing, though. It's kind of the double-edged sword with Goldfish, is that thing where you can fit into sort of the best of a DJ and the best of a band combined into one, where you can fit into a nightclub, you can go at the armchair.
Yeah.
You can go do a Vintook corporate launch. You can do like anything,
well, you can
pretty much.
But
then what happens is you start, unless you are kind of having a vision for yourself about where you're wanting to go.
Ooh.
Like you can easily get sort of hijacked by other people's sort of idea of what you are. And then we get like these things all the time, like, "Oh, your album's such a weird mixture of up tempo and down tempo tunes." But who in the hell would want to have a whole album of just like 130
beats?
And you listen to Milo's album, and that's got a down. He's got hits which are like dance tunes, but then his album's got down tempo tunes on. You listen to Cascade's album.
Yes.
He's got house tracks and he's got down tempo tracks.
Mm.
So it's quite. So we're just trying to make sure that, especially for this next album, is that we don't let what other people sort of are necessarily sort of, "Oh, you must do like a more up tempo or like
dance." What has worked for you? If you
the instruments, definitely. Definitely the instruments are what.
The new definitely one of our goals, I think, a broad goal, is just to try and inject the sort of energy
Of
the live show into the recordings a bit more, you know. It's a very difficult thing to do.
You can't do that in the studio, certainly all the kind of stuff you do, like record live, because you can't. Yeah.
That's the
like
thing, is you try and get it.
You've got to put in you can have an energetic recording opposed to something which is like very
quantized and sort of MIDI.
We do spend a lot of time, we probably spend more time on the feel of things than we do on like on aspects like sound, even, you know. Like we'll get the sound, we'll spend a lot, don't spend time on that, but we'll spend like, let's say,
trying not to make it sound electronic,
make something sound great. Mm. But then we'll spend even more time making sure it's in the right place,
so it sounds human as opposed to just like
We play in a lot of stuff, we don't
computer,
try to quantize everything.
It's weird, you know what it is, it's all about, like, we have the, when we play live, it's such an instinctive, like, sort of intuitive, like, we don't have like a set thing we do, it just kind of, we just go. It's we've never had a rehearsal.
Yeah.
We've never rehearsed the band.
Yeah.
So it just, we just sort of like jam. And now it's like trying, how do you get that and channel that into a
you can't improvise studios. Genius.
So that's definitely the goal for this album, I reckon, is to try and get that.
I don't think it's exactly a sound. We're not going to say, "Well, we want to sound like Britney Spears herself." You know? We're not doing
And there was the music.
So I think that's the main thing, is to try and inject the instrumental kind of thing a bit more into it, because
you played Japan last year and you got some interesting advice to Japan.
We went to Japan, the album's being released in Japan soon.
That's fantastic.
Japan was amazing. Definitely, like, I just had like this feeling about it, and then it happened. We were able to go. This is the weirdest thing. We played a gig in Durban, and an English guy there had told his mate in Japan, "Hey, you should bring this guy down. Don't play with that."
Yeah, you finish the album first.
And so we got to go, but like, people's attitude to culture and music there is just such a revelation.
Mm.
It's very crazy about jazz. Culture of jazz there. It's like, they're just mad. It's just jazz, crazy.
Mm.
it's like,
and obviously electronic music, so it's kind of the best of nice.
And they don't speak English, it's great. So even if they're hating you, you don't know what they're saying.
Yeah, they're just smiling.
They're great for life. They're like, we like you. Yeah, and the first gig we did, the record company that releases all of our favorite acts in Japan was there.
Right.
A complete flock. And we went for lunch the next day, and now,
So what does it mean? I mean, like, it's like we have to see.
Yeah,
because I mean, it's difficult to, you know, every band that's ever gone, that's ever released an album anywhere in Europe or the States, they go to Japan and they
but
there's like this whole buzz, and they're like, they're huge. But like, does it mean that they sell like 100,000
records? It used to be the second largest in music buying.
In the world.
I don't think it is anymore. I think it's the third or fourth, but it's still massive.
Because you would have,
but they look at Europe a lot for their stuff. So that's if they're looking over there going, it's sort of like South Africa, except much bigger.
Yeah, much, much bigger.
Yeah, I mean, you've got, you know, as we have, we get sort of pumped by all the overseas stuff.
Yeah.
And that's where China, like the biggest thing everyone's been working against in the last 10, 12 years in the music industry, forever.
Since there was an industry.
Since the readmission, as they say in Test cricket. Since readmission, everyone's been trying to elbow their ways through all the quagmire of overseas content that just gets like slapped on us by.
That's another frustrating thing, though, is that we've been doing a couple of interviews, and we always get this question, like, oh, you know, musicians are, the industry is in such a state of, like, flux, and it's so, like, awful, it's such in a bad way, and we're like,
it's
better than it's ever been.
No, but you create this place. The thing is, without your album, there is no album, so you create
it's a very entrepreneurial kind of...
Absolutely.
It's what you put in your head out.
If there's a whole lot of crap albums out there, the industry's doing badly because it's just a lot of crap.
But fair enough, we are lucky in a lot of ways, so I think rock bands must struggle a lot because literally the venues you have to play are
in South Africa.
And they're also not as
accessible.
Accessible, it's not really that. They're not as versatile.
Yeah.
We can do,
like we said, you can just drop it down, you can
do it.
We did Koki Falco's wedding. We've done
happily
weird, bizarre things, like the lunchtime set at Design in Derby.
Yeah, but isn't that fun to do?
No, it's like, awesome. Awesome.
That's why we are very lucky in a way that we get to sort of slot. We also get the slot between bands and DJs, so
But isn't it a bit frustrating that, because you are all things to all men, that people can't put you in a nice little box and go, okay, that's goldfish now.
No, that's great.
We can define you, we can touch you, we can feel you, exactly what you're about.
They sound like this.
Yeah. But that could be your demise too, as quickly as it.
Well, it's like the...
But they're trying to catch you the whole time.
Well, everyone says,
they
sound like Saint-Germain.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have a rock band, you put a flute in it, people will say you sound like Saint-Germain.
Yeah.
It's amazing. As soon as you put saxophone is the quickest thing. You put saxophone on anything.
Yeah. Yeah. It's jazz.
That's jazz.
Put a double bass in.
Yeah. What's that? Is that a cello?
Yeah, it's a big cello.
I just get the cello the whole time. It's not a cello.
It's a
bass. Ironically, Dave and I both started off playing cello.
Really?
Yeah. Because both of us.
It will haunt you.
Migrated.
For reasons.
Yeah.
Because no one knew what it was.
And you couldn't do much with it, although Koda have done a good job of
using it. But you know, cello is cello.
Now, working with other people, you clearly work well with other people too. And is there anyone that you're looking to work with?
Artists? We've got various singers and vocalists and instrumentalists coming, eventually meeting with some tomorrow.
That's
some vocalists.
Definitely some of the same ones off the old album.
We also want to keep sort of a cohesion as well. We like those vocalists.
Think of the money.
Yeah, that's all she does.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's an exciting time.
That's actually another beauty of it is that because we're not a normal, usual band, we're not stuck with one vocalist, which is a good thing and a bad thing.
Five, you know?
Yeah,
it does make it more difficult now. We've got to find someone who fits the song. And it's like, okay, this song was the wrong key for that guy or that girl. Doesn't suit her or him, blah, blah, blah. So it does make it a bit more challenging, whereas as opposed to if you have your vocalist, that's your vocalist. You don't have to worry about it. They're just going to be able to sing and everything, you know? But it's also advantageous from our side.
Because you can do that, you can perform live, and your actual vocal track could just travel with you.
Well, that's what we do.
That's what we do. Our own stuff with samplers when we do live. I mean, sometimes we do.
And people are happy to accept that because you are playing. Whereas,
also we try to get away from the whole. You know, the vocalist as the star.
Yes, because
it's always like that. Whenever you have a band, there's always.
Yeah, but there has to be someone that they stare at. There's a few that they stare at. You know, the collective. It's not just.
It was like that with No Doubt with Gwen Stefani. It was like Rolling Stone. Like just when they started out, it was like Rolling Stone phone. They want to be on the cover. And the whole band said, yeah, "We can be on the cover." It's one Gwen.
Yeah.
And then they were like, "Oh,
yeah."
You know, so
2 years later, she had a solo album.
Exactly. You know.
Stick together.
So that's also when we play live, we don't just like press the vocal and like it just plays. We like sort of glitch it and fiddle with it. And,
that's the other side. It's part of the electronic tapestry of what we're doing.
And it becomes an instrument. The sample isn't just pressing a button, you sort of use it in a musical way. It's just like
it becomes like a synth. I mean, you can take a piece of a vocal and turn it into a sound.
That doesn't sound
like a vocal, and it can play a bass line.
But then that's sort of the answer, because unless you're doing something where you do want that raw.
No, we definitely would use.
It's not that we will never ever use it.
But it's great when you do. If you think of bands like Depeche Mode, when they brought in their backing singers, all of a sudden those songs went from being brilliant already, but now all of a sudden there was this almost the soulfulness.
Yeah.
There in the last space, and hairs on the back of your neck to that.
Well, I mean, a lot of the singers we use are slightly like they get a bit crazy. You have to watch them.
It's fault. Alright,
can I call you back? Okay, bye. Sorry.
Yeah, it's fine. So, finish the album before July.
Finish the album before July.
That will you do between now and then?
Literally.
Doing a couple of gigs, but because that's how we play.
Some representation.
Yeah,
you gotta wait to
hear. Yeah, it's like ages for that. That's.
And then they're like, "No, you didn't sell any." Meanwhile,
how are they gonna?
What are you gonna do? Yeah. Get on the plane. I want to see all the things. No, they write from right to left.
So that's obviously also being the balance. The balance of like trying to. I mean, Dave's married and got a kid, and like that's also been like quite interesting balancing act, because he had a kid and we went on tour.
Yeah.
But luckily, that's what happened.
Yeah.
Because there's only two of us, we were able to fly with Bridget and his girl Zoe.
Yeah.
And it's been brilliant. Pretty most of the time, it's been alright.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, it's probably a good.
It is. It's a good leveler.
It does, definitely.
Yeah. And for me as well, like just having, not being in a group of people who, you know what it's like in a band, there's always a drummer.
Yeah.
Drummer's always the trouble, you know. Exactly, and they get you
to all sorts of whistle. And it's like, everyone else goes, what's up with that?
I was a bass player, no one wants to talk to a bass player.
What's up with that?
I don't know. But the bass player's always the lurker. It's always the guy at the back looking, one note, looking bored.
But you normally get the interesting introvert girls who
that's also true.
And instead that they're because I really and you like, hey, you don't know who I am. I've never met you in my life.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I think from that point of view, it must be fascinating. Because you can't buy into your own heart either.
No, like, we never have. We literally, I think, the reason we're doing this is because we're just loving playing. Every single time we play, because it's not the same, because we're not rehashing the song exactly the same way, like a lot of bands have to do.
Yeah.
We never get bored. Yeah. It's like.
Well, that's an old rule, that as long as it's interesting for you, then you'll keep doing it.
Yeah, exactly. And also, the crowd can see that we're sort of, interested in our. Yeah, so.
You know, for lack of a better word. Yeah. You're having fun.
So that definitely helps. Okay. It's never not been fun. Ever. Even when you sort of
exhausted or still we're doing exactly
so
what
we do. Like sometimes, you know, we'll do a gig where maybe like something like that Vintook thing where it's maybe not a screaming crowd, you know, but sometimes we'll go to different places because we won't be
in that.
That's also the thing, if you're playing to screaming crowds every day,
you get a false sense of reality as well.
Also, it's like a strange sort of. Yeah, you do anything, and everyone's like, "Ah!" And you're like, "Oh, well, that's easy." What is that? It's also cool. You know, it's also cool to be able to do other stuff, so that you know other gigs where maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, also when there's not the pressure of having a massive crowd like hanging on every moment, that everything that you do, you can go to other places. You can experiment with stuff, you know.
But what's not so
that? Maybe and play with the keyboards. Maybe.
But the nice thing is that people get to define you in their own way, which I think that's part of the success of the band. You're not saying this is what we look like. This is you don't package yourselves. You put yourself out there. People go and package you in their way, in their homes, in their cars, on their iPods, whatever. And I think that's
that music's like that as well. I think one of the goals of our music is that it sort of just doesn't appeal to people, but people can add their meaning to the music.
Well, it's lacking something, okay? Yeah. So they have to play their own personality.
It's actually a very clean point that we've discussed.
Everyone becomes part of the music.
It's mine. If you actually get
The style of music we're doing is also quite sort of lifestyle, soundtracking kind of to your life vibe. It's not like the song about losing your girlfriend or your dog or whatever, it's kind of like an uplifting sort of thing, which is kind of...
We don't like making sad music either.
No.
Like, I mean, that's not really bad.
Or tortured sort of scary...
Nothing wrong with it, but I'm just saying that's not us. We like the divvity, funky kind of sounds.
Mixed with this, like, the electronica, so it's like the best of...
Yeah. Exactly. Now, you're clearly going to have a lot of, decisions to make this year, and probably next year, the year after that.
Yeah, always.
Is it difficult to, you do it as a team, you sit there like, oh, this is it. No, this is a great idea, it's a crap idea, it's a good idea.
Well, luckily, most of the time we agree, which is quite useful.
Mm. Any bad decisions that you've made?
The funny thing is that because we were always musicians before we were doing this, is that we were playing in jazz bands, rock, Bay was in Dorp in a rock band. I was playing with Plush for a bit, I played with Winston Mancuku. So we were doing like a whole broad section of like different styles of music and
bastardized all of that and made.
Yeah, but it also just gave us like a nice, well rounded sort of take on
grounding
being a musician. And it wasn't like, I want to do what a DJ does. We were just like,
how do we
make a music that we were hearing in our heads, sort of thing.
And is it?
It's about halfway there.
I
feel like I just feel like we've done like a fifth of the potential.
Until we get a USB connection for the back of your brain,
it's not gonna happen. It's coming.
I'm scared.
Like, I know you're gonna get back to it.